Tenacious Living Radio.
Stress Less Radio, originally airing on the Amazing Women of Power Radio Network, inspires listeners with strategies from JJ and other stress management experts that helps listeners reinvent their lives from the inside out.
Hi, welcome to Stress Less Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more. I'm your host, JJ Frederickson. Hello and welcome. Welcome. I thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to listen to Stress Less Radio. And as always, I hope that I can serve you in some way. Now, this is the time of month, generally the second week of the month, that I talk about spiritual stress, because I'm all about hitting the stress in all areas of your life, whether it's body, mind, or spirit. Now, truth be told, I think almost all of our stress is really deep down related to spiritual stress. So let me talk about spiritual stress for a moment. What is spiritual stress? Well, for me, spiritual stress is any time that we are going against our spirit, where we are going against our essential nature of who really are, when we are going against those inner promptings that we have, we are experiencing spiritual stress. And that's why I say almost all types of stress, I believe, are spiritual stress, because even the things I categorize as mental stressors, I believe have an element of the fact that you are going against your true divine nature. Now, a natural question might be, why would anyone do that? And you know, the fact is that we all do it. We all do it for different reasons. And I just finished a book called The Lightworker's Way by Doreen Virtue, and I will link to it in my resources section on stresslessradio.com. But she writes in this book that we each created a basic life plan for ourselves before incarnation. However, we made this life plan when we were fully in our true self state of mind. After incarnation, we got trapped in thoughts about materiality and our ego mind developed. So it really is about the ego. Now, the ego is not a bad thing. It's what we came here to Earth to experience, is what it's like to have that ego and feel those feelings that we don't feel when we're in our true self state of mind. So it's not that ego is a bad thing, but you know, I believe we came to Earth with this plan, and a lot of our life is uncovering what that plan was and aligning with that plan, aligning with our true nature. If you've listened to the show before, you know that over the last year, I've been training to become a scientific hand analyst. And actually, I am one. I received my level one training back in October of last year. And my training is amazing because it reveals that sacred contract plan through your fingerprints. Yes, that code is in your fingerprints. When we are in utero, there is an energetic pulse that happens between the 14th and 16th week of pregnancy that we like to think of as a divine soul energy. And that pulse creates the waves, the ridges on our fingers. And those ridges, just like our DNA has a code in them, those ridges contain the code of our sacred contract, our life purpose, our life lesson, and our life theme. It has that life plan that Doreen was talking about right there in our fingerprints. So I found that when I got my fingerprints read, it's a life purpose breakthrough on my product. It's also referred to as life prints or the life print blueprint. There are many ways to refer to this. It's a system that was uncovered by Richard Unger, if you're interested in doing a little bit of research. But when I got my information about the information that was contained in my fingerprints, my sacred contract, my reason that my soul came to incarnate, it felt so true, and not a like woo-woo type of true. Based on my 20 years of studying personal growth, my 25 years of studying spirituality and different religions and so forth, what I know about myself and how I interact with the world was all revealed in my fingerprints in a matter of moments. And to be able to condense time like that, if I could condense all my personal development work and start from having this life plan, I mean, It's great. But I could also see where I still wasn't always in alignment. And I found that most of my stress comes when I'm not in alignment with what it says in my hands. I know that sounds out there for some of you, but it is true, and it keeps being proven true again and again and again for me. And now with my countless clients, I have been working with so many clients on aligning them with their purpose by first looking at their handprints and their fingerprints specifically, uncovering their life lesson, their life purpose and life theme, and then we work on how to align them with it. And it's, talk about quantum stress relief. It is quantum the way that these people are able to shift and start to immediately align the areas of their life where they weren't aligned. So today I wanted to talk about actually a client that I've been working with. And like I said, our fingerprints contain three main elements, our life purpose or our soul's mission while we are here. They contain our life theme, which is that whole overlying theme in our life. So our purpose is related to our theme, and our life lesson is related to our theme. Everything we do is related to our theme. Knowing all three elements is amazing, but for immediate stress relief, just knowing your theme is phenomenal. Because if you know your theme, for me, my life theme is all about love and judgment. So if I'm feeling stressed out, all I have to do to align with my purpose, all I have to do with to align with my spirit, to get rid of that spiritual stress, is say, how can I show more love to myself and others? And where am I in judgment? Where am I in judgment? Where am I not being emotionally authentic, especially? Because a lot of that judgment comes with emotions for people who are in that theme of love and judgment. So that's all it boils down to. And like I said, my life theme also contributes to my life purpose and my life lesson. So today, like I said, I'm looking at one of my clients' files, and she has a life lesson that I wanted to talk about today. And it's a very common one. We all experience this at some time in our life, I'm guessing. I can't think of a human being who hasn't experienced this, which is why I'm sharing it with you. For some people who this is their life lesson, it comes up for them again and again and again. It's their biggest blind spot. And once they know that that's their biggest life lesson, their biggest blind spot, they can begin to have strategies around it so that they can align with their spirit better and eliminate the spiritual stress. See how that kind of works? See how that kind of works? So let me tell you first that these life lessons in our fingerprints, each finger stands for a different thing, and there are different archetypes, and you know, it is a whole scientific system that's based on medical data, it's based on some ancient wisdom, and it is based on a whole heck of a lot of data collection and finding those correlations between personality and soul traits and what shows up in the fingerprints. So anyways, the life lesson is usually denoted by the least complex ridges, the least complex fingerprints in your hand, indicates your life lesson and where they show up in your hand. Again, can't get into big details about that, but we're looking for your least complex fingerprints when we're looking for life lesson. And this is a common archetype, okay? It's a common archetype for people who have their least complex fingerprints. I'm pulling up her chart. On, I believe, I just want to make sure I get this right. Yes, it's on the middle finger and the little finger, the pinky. Okay, the middle finger and the little finger is where this is located. And I'm not going to get into left, right now. We're just going to say middle finger and pinky. And this archetype life lesson is called not feeling worthy of love. Not feeling worthy of love. Now let's think about how our divine nature, our true divine nature, our essential nature is love, right? We are connected to the source of love. We are surrounded by love. That is who we truly are. Everything is love. So when we're not feeling worthy of love, when we're separated from love or feel ourselves as being separated from love, that's the ego's work. That's not the work of the spirit. That's the ego at play, telling us that we are not connected to love at all times, and that we aren't even worthy of love. Because think about this too. You know, being sons and daughters of God, having the divine nature, however you want to put this, being baby gods and goddesses, you know, any tradition you look at just about, it tells of our divine nature. So how can someone who's divine not be worthy of love? Again, it's impossible. That's a paradox. It cannot happen. It's only our ego. When we see things through our ego that we say, oh, wait a minute, I actually need to change who I am. I need to sacrifice myself in some way so that someone will love me, because I don't have that worth. I don't have that value by myself. Right? So see how that comes in. So right away, it's a stressful thought. You know, automatically, you are experiencing spiritual stress because you are not recognizing that you are a precious divine being. So right there. And then you magnify it by creating these behaviors to try to compensate for low self-worth, or to try to win someone's love and acceptance and approval. Right? So the spiritual stress keeps compounding again and again and again. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how that spiritual stress can look in our life right after this break. We're going to take a quick break, and Stressless Radio will be back right after this. Hi, it's JJ the Life Coach, and I'm here to tell you about my fabulous new training program, the Sweet Life Jumpstart. If you've ever bumped up against the same issue again and again and again, whether it's money, whether it's relationships issues, whether it's lack of trust, whatever it might be that you keep bumping up against again and again, I'm betting it has to do with your life theme. And I've got a fabulous training program online. You can study at your own pace, and it's going to teach you your life theme and help you turn that life theme from a power suck to a power up. So check out my website, jjthelifecoach.com, and click on the tab for the Sweet Life Jumpstart and start having a sweeter, more spectacular life today. This is Stressless Radio. I am your host, JJ Fredrickson, and today we are talking about spiritual stress, and especially the spiritual stress that comes when we have low self-worth, when we feel not worthy of someone else's love. So we do things. We compromise ourselves. We mold ourselves. We try to fit in, trying to earn somebody's love, somebody else's love. Now, I brought this up because, as I mentioned before the break, I was actually working on someone's life purpose breakthrough report this week, and her life lesson was all around these feelings of low self-worth, not feeling worthy of love. And as I said, we all have some experience of it. But for her, this experience is going to be much more pervasive in her life. It's her biggest blind spot. And that's whenever she sacrifices herself, compromises herself, starts feeling badly about herself, it is probably going to be tied into that. And what's interesting for her especially is her life theme, which actually my commercial was about life themes and my life theme product. Her life theme is around service and sacrifice. So she tends to sacrifice herself based on her life theme to try to win other people's love is how those two exactly fit together. It's a beautiful the way everything fits so nicely. And so the thing about both life themes and life lessons, such as this not feeling worthy of love, is that we are looking for the Goldilocks point in it. So someone who is not feeling worthy of love has low self-worth, and they might actually, not everyone, but some of them might actually bounce between feelings of low self-worth and inflated self-worth You know, not too much, not too little, or too much, too little, so that they can find that Goldilocks point where they feel confident in themselves and they have good, appropriate self-worth, right? They're not squashing other people thinking that they're better than others, but they feel appropriately value, like they have appropriate value, and they value themselves appropriately. So I just wanted to bring that up before we go into the talk, because as I talk about some of the ways that this actually shows up in the world, I wanted to mention that some of the things might seem very opposite. And that's the reason, is because someone who's working with this life lesson is looking for that perfect point for them, and realize that that is a unique personal point of reference. Your Goldilocks point might be somewhere completely different on that spectrum. What, you know, whatever, based on your life theme and your life purpose, or, you know, whatever. So let's talk then a little bit about what happens in the spiritual stress and the continued stress that happens, because we talked about how it magnifies and grows when we have low self-worth, when we try to do things for love and acceptance because we don't think we deserve it. Well, one of the first indicators is something I've sort of been referring to, and that is that you tend to lose yourself in others. You might lose yourself. So if you're experiencing this spiritual stress, this low self-worth, you might find that you're over-apologizing for things, constantly saying, oh, I'm sorry. And if this isn't you, I'm guessing you probably know someone who tends to apologize for everything. I think we've almost all had some experience with that in their life. You know, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. They're taking the blame for everything. Another thing is that you might actually allow others to treat you poorly, right? You have low self-worth, so you just don't see that you should be treated any better. And I think this is an extreme example, so understand this isn't the way it shows up in most people's lives, but I think the extreme example is the woman who's being abused and stays with the abuser because there's some part of her that doesn't think she can get any better, right? She can't have better. This is the only form of love she can get, is this abusive sort of love, and so she'll put up with it. So again, not at that level, but look at where in your life you have perhaps allowed other people to treat you poorly, or allowed them to overstep your boundaries, right? Maybe it's your boss at work and you've done it not even so much to get love, but for acceptance at work. You want to get that promotion, so you let him be or her berate you a little bit more than you'd let anyone else. You know, has that ever happened to you? So think about it. Another one, and I am very, this is not my life lesson around self-worth, but this is something that I do very much, and it is part of my life theme also of love and judgment. Changing yourself to meet the expectations of others. Changing yourself to meet the expectations for others. So I love this example. My husband does not like leggings. He just doesn't like the way they look on anyone. He just doesn't like them. And so when I found this out many, many years ago, early in our relationship, I stopped buying leggings. I stopped buying leggings. I had changed, and I like them, by the way. I love a long tunic and leggings. I love it. So I had changed my sense of fashion and what I like to meet his likes, right? I did that. And really, it was about earning his love and acceptance. Even though this is not my life lesson, that's an example of, I want him to love me and accept me, so I'm not going to wear leggings. Because, and again, this is an extreme thought, taking it to the extreme. If I wear something and he doesn't think I'm beautiful, he won't like me anymore, right? Yeah, it's a little far-fetched when you look at it that way. Another thing very common, especially for women, is agreeing to do things for others that you don't want to do so that you can avoid feelings of guilt for not doing them, right? In other words, you're saying yes when you really want to say no. You do not want to volunteer for the school PTA, and you do it anyways so that you don't feel guilty about it, right? Right? You want to be accepted by the other parents. You don't want them to think you're a deadbeat, so you say yes, Okay. So there are some examples where it's actually tied to spiritual stress. You are not in alignment with your spirit if you are doing those things. So what are some things that you can do to align with your spirit, to get rid of that stress? Well, if you're an over-apologizer, you might want to define what being accountable actually means, right? You might want to sit down and say, okay, what am I actually accountable or responsible for? And start making sure that you're only apologizing if you're truly accountable or responsible for that. You're not accountable for your friend being late to work, you know, so don't apologize for it. Or you might be accountable for the fact you spilled your latte on your friend's new coat. You did that, but it was a mistake. It was an honest mistake. So apologize once and then let it go. You don't have, or you might even pay the dry cleaning bill, you know, but you're not going to sit there and flagellate yourself internally forever because you ruined her new coat, right? It was a mistake. So apologize appropriately based on what you truly are accountable for or responsible for. So how about knowing if you've been treated poorly? A great way is to start getting acquainted with the feelings in your body. Really go within and recognize that when you're treated poorly, what's happening in your body, so that that can act as a cue or a guide to you. So you begin to notice when a boundary is being broken. Maybe you get tension in your jaw, or maybe your stomach starts to hurt. You know, what is it in your body that indicates that you're being treated poorly? And then analyze, are you willing to have a conversation with that person that this is not an acceptable behavior for you, and that you still might love them, but if they continue to do that, you're going to walk out of the room? Or if it's your boss, that your job means a lot to you, but that when she berates you, it feels like that she's berating you, and that's not making you an effective worker. You don't work well under that type of negative motivation, or however you're going to word it. You know, are you willing to have a conversation about it? And then, like I mentioned with my client, especially, whose life theme is around service and sacrifice, get clear on where you're sacrificing yourself versus making a compromise or working as a team, right? Because you might have some family response. You might want to, you know, maybe this is a good example. Maybe I would like to be going to play practice 5 days a week, but I have a family and I'm part of that family team. So doing every play during the year does not contribute to me being part of that team, right? So as a compromise, maybe I do every other play or one play a year. You know, that is a compromise, but it's not sacrificing myself, correct? See the difference there? And again, it's good to check in with those physical and mental cues that let you know you're sacrificing yourself. You might want to sit down and do some journaling on what happens in your body and what your mind says, what excuses you make that allow you to sacrifice yourself. And then the last thing in this area is when feelings of guilt arise, because guilt, I mentioned this is a middle finger. This is a middle finger life lesson. And that is often associated with feelings of guilt, that you're not living up to your responsibilities in some way. The middle finger is all about responsibilities with your resources. And so you have guilt if you feel like you're not meeting your responsibilities. And you might find that your guilt is unwarranted if you talk to the people around you about it. You might say, you know, I'm really feeling guilty about doing this play once a year. And your husband might say, you know, honey, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. Once a year is fine. Yes, if it was every play, it would be really rough around the household, but really, don't feel guilty. Once a year is good. Okay? Okay, so there's some hints for you, some on-purpose remedies for what happens when you start losing yourself and others, how you can recognize it and what you can do about it. Now, there are a couple of other indicators that you might be in this life lesson or this spiritual stress of having this low self-worth, of sacrificing yourself, basically, going against your true divine nature to try to get love and acceptance, to try to feel worthy of love and acceptance. And these issues are usually around integrity. These are all my integrity issues. So you might be someone who's constantly checking in with yourself about how you're coming across to others, right? Oh, what's so-and-so going to think? Like those moms at school, what are they going to think if I'm not in the PTA? And you're running your whole life. What would my mother think if I went to college for this, for acting instead of something more responsible, right? Would she think I was selling myself short? What would my dad say if I moved in with this guy? You know, not that it's not okay to evaluate things, but if you are doing that all the time, if you are constantly worried about how you'll come across to others instead of following through on your inner guidance, that is an indicator that you are trying to make yourself worthy of their love and acceptance. You might also move a little further down that path where you're actually deceiving others to get what you want. Actually sort of using a little deceit in there. That might be an indicator, and it's a lack of integrity, right? You're not in alignment with yourself, your values, but you're doing it to get that love and attention that you want. Maybe someone who, I was going to say fake a headache, but that automatically made my brain go to getting out of sex, right? That old stereotype about women. But seriously, maybe you wake up with a little headache and your husband's like, oh, I'm so sorry. What can I do for you? And the headache goes away around noon, but you pretend you have it all night long because he's treating you so sweetly, right? That would be an example of deceiving others to get what is wanted. Another instance is trying to buy others love and affection. And this might be physically buying things, or it might just be overcompensating. Because remember I said that middle finger is around responsibility with resources. So maybe you're using money, or maybe you are just devoting way too much energy and time into overcompensating for something, right? Overcompensating. Oh, I'm a working mom, so I'm going to overcompensate by making every weekend a trip to the amusement park for my kids, you know, whatever it might be, or letting them get away with things that they shouldn't, or ice cream for every dinner, however you might be overcompensating. Another integrity issue is similar to one I spoke to before about challenges with setting and or holding your boundaries. And there's also could be a fear of committing to others or committing to doing what you value and believing in. So there's an element of not wanting to commit to things. Because remember, if you're constantly gauging yourself by how the people around you might react, you can't make a commitment because you don't know. Maybe your husband loves leggings today and he hates them tomorrow. You know, you can't say your stance on leggings because you don't know if it's going to change, right? That's an integrity issue. And the final one I wanted to mention was believing you are right, darn it, so that your bad behaviors are justified, right? So you have to prove you're right all the time so that you can get away with the things that are not in your integrity. So again, these are all self-esteem, or not self-esteem, but self-worth issues. So what do we do about them? Well, always, always, always check in with yourself first and practice aligning with what you want and need. That is the right thing for you to do. Don't worry about what the outer says. Really align with yourself. And be honest with yourself about when you're deceiving or when you might be manipulating, right? Ask people for help in meeting your desires and needs and wants instead of using deceit. You know, just tell your husband you want a foot. Can he give you a foot rub? He might say no, but you can ask, right? Understand that your time and energy have great value and you don't have to overdo it, right? You have a lot to offer. You don't have to overdo it, and you don't have to do and be perfect for everybody in everything you do. Practice your boundaries, even the small ones, right? Set up structures and support that help you follow through with your feelings and your tasks. And just dare to see another person's point of view, but don't take it on as your own, right? That's just their opinion. Remember that you are a divine, precious being, and you are love. You are always connected to love. You don't have to break your integrity, sell yourself short, or lose yourself in others to try to gain love and acceptance. Heck, you are love and acceptance and constantly connected to that source. So I am so out of time. Thanks for listening. I am out of here. Have a great week where you are stressing less and living more.